Hello and welcome to The Bookmonger. I'm John J. Miller of National Review. Thanks for listening. This show is a production of National Review, and we're recording from the studio WRFH, the campus radio station of Hillsdale College. Our guest is Hal Brands, author of The Twilight Struggle, What the Cold War Teaches Us About Great Power Rivalry Today. Hal, welcome to The Bookmonger.
Thank you for having me.
The Cold War lasted from roughly the end of World War II in 1945 to the breakup of the Soviet Union in 1991. That was three decades ago. What are we in the 2020s supposed to have learned from that conflict?
Well, we need to learn something from it. And the reason really is twofold. And so one is that we now find ourselves in another period of prolonged great power competition. This time it's between the United States and China and the United States and Russia. Last time it was against the Soviet Union. But in fact, history is full of long-term competition between geopolitical rivals. The Cold War was just one example of that. It happens to be the only time in American history when the United States has done competition with an authoritarian rival over a period of decades. And so we need to look back at the Cold War to understand what the challenges are and what the United States tends to do well and poorly in these competitions. The second reason is that the Cold War, even though it ended 30 years ago, is still within the living memory of the American president. It's still within the living memory of many American policymakers. And so we're going to be reaching back one way or another for lessons from the Cold War. The trick is to make sure that we're doing it based on the history of what actually happened and not on a sort of a superficial history of what we think happened.
There's a quote that's sometimes attributed to Mark Twain, which is this, quote, "History doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme." Is that what you're saying here?
That's right. And so the U.S.-China competition isn't going to be exactly like the U.S.-Soviet Cold War, for example. I mean, there are myriad differences, economic, geographic, ideological, you name it. But the United States is going to have to do things in this competition that actually aren't that different from what it did vis-a-vis the Soviet Union. We're going to have to rally a broad coalition of countries to contain Chinese power. We're going to have to think about how to compete with China while also negotiating or even cooperating with it in a few discrete areas. We're going to have to think about how to impose limits on the competition so it doesn't get out of control. All of these are things we also had to do during the Cold War. And so I think we can learn a lot from relearning the history.
Explain the title, The Twilight Struggle. When I think of twilight, I tend to think of dusk, but I know it also means dawn.
Yeah, so the Twilight Struggle, the phrase comes from John F. Kennedy's speech in 1961, where he talked about the Cold War as a long twilight struggle. And I think what he meant was that the Cold War was kind of neither war nor peace. And it was something that was sort of inherently murky and ambiguous in the way that the light sometimes is at twilight. And so that's the metaphor that the book is meant to capture, that the Cold War was this long period that wasn't hot war in the way that World War II had been, but it wasn't anything like what Americans thought of as peace. There was no relaxation. There was no respite. And the United States had to be constantly on its guard during the Cold War over a period of decades. Lamentably, I think that's the sort of situation we're heading into today, and we need to bear in mind that while a Cold War is an ugly prospect, a Cold War may be the alternative to a hot war. That was the case during the U.S.-Soviet Cold War, and I think we're going to face similar challenges today.
We talk about having won the Cold War, and of course, the West, broadly understood, led by the United States, defeated the Soviet Union, in a sense, in the Cold War. And a Cold War is better than a hot war, as you say. But how successful was the Cold War, really? It did last a long time.
So I would say that America's strategy during the Cold War produced a victory that was as decisive as any that has been won in a hot war, but without all of the accompanying violence. And I say that advisedly because, of course, the Cold War had lots of violence in the Third World. For instance, the United States fought conflicts in Korea and Vietnam that could be quite bloody, but there was no great power military conflict of the type there had been in World War I and World War II. And at the end of this struggle, the international system was transformed, and the door was opened to the spread of democracy and market economics. The United States had a geopolitical position that was more commanding than ever before. And so I think that while there were lots of failures, there were lots of tragedies, there were lots of errors along the way, the United States actually did win in coordination with its allies a pretty dramatic victory during the Cold War. And so it's a reminder that, you know, strategies that prove successful, as containment did, don't always look that way at all times during a competition, and that the road to success can be littered with a lot of setbacks as well.
Hal, what is the strategy for China now in this great power rivalry? Is it containment? Is it a Cold War strategy of containment? Is it rollback? Is it something else?
I think we have left a lot of ambiguity here. And so the last two presidential administrations, one Republican, one Democratic, have argued that the United States needs to move toward competition with China. But competition is really more a description of the state of the world than it is an objective. And I think there are kind of two theories about what the United States should be seeking vis-a-vis China. And they haven't really been adjudicated in a meaningful way in U.S. policy yet. And so I think one theory is basically that if we compete more effectively, right, if we deter Chinese aggression vis-a-vis Taiwan, if we protect our technological advantages, then we'll get some sort of detente a few years from now, and we'll settle into a state of competitive coexistence or managed coexistence, where the United States and China will still have problems, but they'll respect each other's vital interests, and the danger of war will be much reduced. I think that's the more optimistic theory. I think the more pessimistic theory is that there is something about the Chinese Communist Party, the Chinese regime, that predisposes a powerful China to competition and even conflict with the United States and with the democratic world. And so we need to be thinking about something closer to Cold War containment, where the idea is to prevent China from expanding its influence through the international system until the regime evolves in some way. This doesn't mean we would pursue regime change, but until the regime changes from within in some way and a different type of government takes hold or Chinese power mellows in some way. I think the first one is obviously the more hopeful scenario. I think the second one may actually be more likely.
In the introduction to The Twilight Struggle, you point out that few living American policymakers have experience with the Cold War and great power struggles. How do we prepare for this kind of competition? I suppose we should all start by reading The Twilight Struggle, right? Go buy your book and read about it there. But broadly understood, is there an educational program? What do we need to do to get ourselves ready for this?
Well, I think studying history more broadly, and you know, not just my book, but yes, everybody should go buy it, is useful in the sense that there really is nothing new under the sun, right? And so the challenge of competition with an adversary in the shadow of war is something that policymakers going back to the ancient era would recognize. And so we actually can learn a lot about our current predicament from looking at the past. But I think also, you know, one thing that becomes very clear from the Cold War is that we gain experience over time, right? And so our judgments in some ways become sharper, say, in the late 1970s and early 1980s than they were two decades before. We know more about the Soviet Union and so on and so forth. And so I think there's probably something to that effect today. There is a rhythm to long-term competition. At some point, we will begin producing a generation of policymakers who have really trained for this scenario. We will have a little bit more experience as a nation in dealing with some of the economic or technological challenges that competition presents. So we should learn from the past, but we're also going to have to sort of learn as we go as well.
The conclusion of your book is called Lessons of a Twilight Struggle, and you list a dozen of them and state pretty clearly what are the lessons we should have learned, how do we apply them to the problems of right now. I don't want you to tick off all 12 of them, but pick one that is maybe overlooked or misunderstood, an idea that we should be thinking about now as we enter this new Twilight Struggle.
So one that I'll point out, which I think is one of the more hopeful lessons, is that competition is a reason to invest in yourself. And so we often think of the Cold War as this terrible thing that happened to the United States. And it did certainly have lamentable effects at home as well as abroad. And so we can all think about McCarthyism and the excesses of that era and red baiting and other ugly tendencies. But the argument I make in the book is that the United States actually came out of the Cold War with a richer, more vibrant democracy as a result of having waged the Cold War. The Cold War gave us a reason to invest in ourselves, to rejuvenate our own democracy. and to do things that we ought to do in any event. And so just to give one example, the reason that the federal government gets serious about breaking down segregation in the South in the late 50s and early 1960s has a lot to do with the importance of being able to hold up America as an example of democracy in this competition overseas, right? And so it was a case where the imperative of competing well forced us to be a better version of ourselves. And I think that's something that's worth keeping in mind today. And it's one of the more inspiring lessons to come out of this period.
The author is Hal Brands. The book is The Twilight Struggle, What the Cold War Teaches Us About Great Power Rivalry Today. Hal, thanks for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
Thanks to all of you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to leave a review. Your reviews help new listeners discover us, and that helps us keep this show going. We'll be back next week with a new episode of The Bookmonger.